Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I said Monday. See how many times Obama uses the word investment. Investment is a code word for tax and spend. It turns out Obama used the word investment 13 times, and he used it 11 times before he even used the word debt.
Well, that was Jack, a teacher from Staten Island, who called in Wednesday in reaction to President Obama's State of the Union speech. Well, since today isn't just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. We're digging into Jack's analysis and beyond. The word investment does appear in some form 13 times, and that's not all. New York Times Magazine On Language columnist Ben Zimmer is in the studio with me to parse the language of the State of the Union from investment to smoked salmon. He's also the executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com. Ben Zimmer, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
And let's see. I want to play another investing clip for our listeners and then have you come back on the other side and talk about invest as a euphemism.
An investment that will strengthen our security.
Attract private investment.
To invest in basic research.
We'll invest in biomedical research.
Let's invest in tomorrow.
Russia invests more in the roads and railways than we do.
All right. Now, the president used, do you want to just comment on that?
Well, sure. Yeah, we did hear forms of the word invest or investment 13 times. We also heard forms of the word spend or spending 14 times. But if you look closely at the context, you'll see that spending is always in the context of cutting excessive spending or freezing spending, discretionary spending. And all of the future projects and government allocations use the language of investment. And this was signaled early on in speeches leading up to the State of the Union. And the Republicans were prepared. We heard from the caller who said, well, it's just a code word for tax and spend. Well, that's exactly the message the Republicans were trying to get out there and plant into people's minds in the sort of the pregame analysis on the Sunday morning talk shows. And perhaps they were successful with that. But the investment language definitely does get away from the word spending, which has become a dirty word in politics, really, thanks to the tax and spend label that liberals have been saddled with. And so investment obviously plays a lot better in focus groups and polling and so forth, where there's more of a sense that we're not just throwing money at a problem. We're not just spending the money with no expectation for results. Investment is really results-oriented, and actually both parties have favored that term for that reason.
Here's another much-commented-on line from the State of the Union. Let's listen.
This is our generation's Sputnik moment. 2 years ago, I said that we needed to reach a level of research and development we haven't seen since the height of the space race.
Sputnik moment.
Yeah, that was one of those phrases that I think the Obama speechwriters and Obama himself were hoping would stick in our memory, that we would remember this call to action, that we should have a Sputnik moment in the same way that the threat of Soviet Union's launch of Sputnik led to the space program. And he talked about how we need to make Apollo projects for our time when he was talking about things like clean energy technology or high-speed rail and that sort of thing. I wonder, though, how much that phrase resonated with younger viewers of the State of the Union address who didn't live through that. I wonder if he really explained that well enough for people who were not really keyed into what Sputnik meant in terms of Cold War, space race, and all that really meant.
And was that part of a pattern of up and down metaphors?
Well, he definitely used a lot of spatial metaphors of moving up and moving forward, and certainly thinking of going to the skies with Sputnik helps with that upward movement. And he was also very adept at presenting any of his opponents as being down and behind and mired in the past. So people who were still arguing about healthcare reform, clearly he's talking about the House Republicans trying to repeal the healthcare reform law, are fighting yesterday's battles.
Now, when I was watching the State of the Union with about 100 other folks in the green space, Obama's plane without an engine metaphor got some giggles, but you didn't like that one, right?
Well, I thought that fell flat. That was really the sour note for me in terms of his rhetoric. We were just talking about all of these metaphors for upward and forward movement. But then he tells this, he uses this analogy which suggests a plane crash, which is really not an image, I think, that he wanted to inject there. And he talked about how if the plane tries to fly without the engine, then you'll soon feel the impact. And it just seemed very poorly phrased. He could have used that analogy to talk about trying to lift off or something like that without getting this image of a plane crashing in our heads, which I think really fell flat.
Now, NPR did a survey of State of the Union watchers on both sides of the aisle, and they discovered that many people, when asked to sum up the speech in three words, chose salmon as one of the words. And I guess that's what happens when you make a joke. He talked about the overregulation of salmon in the United States and ended it with, and that doesn't even include the regulation once the salmon is smoked.
Right. Yeah, that was a fairly successful laugh line that got a lot of chuckles about smoked salmon. And so people were talking about that afterwards, definitely.
All right. Now we have a surprise guest within this segment, because on the show on Wednesday after the speech, I was talking about the salmon joke and mentioned that this was the first time that lox had ever appeared in the State of the Union address. Someone on our comments page called me out on that, saying that lox is not, in fact, smoked, but rather cured. Now, we have got an actual lox expert on the phone to help us get to the bottom of this. Nikki Russ, a co-owner of Russ and Daughters. Nikki is the fourth generation owner of this appetizing shop in Lower Manhattan. And hi, Nikki. So I got it wrong, huh?
Hi, Brian. You got it wrong, but I have to say that the semantics around the word lox are indeed quite murky, because these days, most people, when they refer to bagels and lox, are referring to smoked salmon. But genuine lox is, in fact, not smoked salmon. It's a salmon that's been cured in salt. And when my great-grandfather started Russ and Daughters 100 years ago, that's what he sold, and that's what people knew. Smoked salmon came into the works a little later. So if you walk into Russ and Daughters, you find eight different kinds of smoked salmon and then genuine lox, which is called belly lox. And it's very salty, but that is authentic, original lox.
And to avoid another follow-up Friday for next week, Russ and Daughters is an appetizing shop, not a deli?
Yeah, and that's a whole other lexical discussion. Russ and Daughters is appetizing is actually one of New York's most unique food traditions, but the term never really made it into our lingo the way deli did. But appetizing refers to the place you go to buy the foods that you would want to eat on a bagel. So smoked salmon, lox, herrings, cream cheeses. Don't call us a deli.
Not just a semantic difference. And I like lox and I like semantics, so no one will call me anti-semantic after this conversation. Nikki Russ, co-owner of Russ and Daughters, fourth generation owner of this appetizing shop. What's your address?
179 East Houston on the Lower East Side.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And back to Ben Zimmer, on language columnist for the New York Times. Win the future was the overall theme and title of the speech. Here's that.
May have broken the back of this recession. But to win the future, we'll need to take
on
challenges.
That's how our people will prosper. That's how we'll win the future.
Crucial to America's success. But if we want to win the future, if we want innovation,
if we make the hard choices now to rein in our deficits, we can make the investments we need to win the future.
We can't win the future with a government of the past.
America has been the story of ordinary people who dare to dream. That's how we win the future.
And that phrase, win the future, used many times in the speech, as we just demonstrated, seems to have polled very well with speech watchers. Is this the 2012 campaign reelection slogan?
It could be. I mean, after the address, Obama took his show on the road, first to Wisconsin, and he was still using winning the future. That was actually the official title of the State of the Union address, was winning the future. There might be a bit of a hitch, though, with using it as a campaign slogan in the future, because Republicans have a bit of a claim on it. Newt Gingrich wrote a book in 2005 entitled Winning the Future. A Republican activist in Oregon actually bought up the domain name winthefuture.com back in 2007. So now if you go to that website, it will redirect you to the Oregon Republican Party.
Oops,
yeah. But, I mean, it's not that Newt Gingrich invented it. You know, that phrase has been used rhetorically for quite a while. In fact, Archibald MacLeish, the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and librarian of Congress under FDR, used it during World War II. He said, "We who win this war will win the future." So it's been around for a while, and we'll see what Obama wants to do with it in the future. So.
And lastly, from the Make No Small Plans file, the president said this.
We do big things.
That's it. Now, that got a lot of tweets on Twitter and postings on Facebook saying it was a hip-hop reference, especially since the president says he's a fan of artists like Jay-Z. But you say it actually comes from a reference related to the Chilean miners, We Do Big Things.
Well, yeah, he set it up in the speech by quoting this employee at the Pennsylvania company that had drilling technology that helped get those Chilean miners out. And the employee said, "We're a small company, but we do big things." So he used that to talk about the innovative spirit in America, and he's tying it to that whole grand tradition from Edison and the Wright brothers all the way through Google and Facebook. And so he took that phrase, and it's a very simple and punchy phrase, and used that as his tagline at the end of the speech.
All right. New York Times Magazine on language columnist Ben Zimmer. He wrote about these various usages of words on the Times website. From investment to smoked salmon. Did you write about smoked salmon, or bring that up?
I didn't touch on that. I'll have to look a little more into Locke.
He's also the executive producer, and then we'll get into, we already have a follow-up question, what's Nova? So maybe next week. He's also the executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com. Ben Zimmer, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.